Welcome back to another episode of Not Another Science Podcast. In this episode, Emily and I interviewed the CEO of Danu Robotics and high-performance computer graduate, Amy Ma. We had a really fascinating discussion of how AI and robotics can aid the currently manual process of sorting rubbish, and how Amy was able to set up her own company while still at university, with the help of Edinburgh Innovations. Keep listening to find out more about how this technology is going to revolutionise the recycling process. But first, just a quick word to say that this episode is sponsored by Edinburgh Innovations. Edinburgh Innovations are here to support students and recent graduates who want to build their entrepreneurial skills and ideas. They offer support and advice to students like Amy to help develop a business idea. Find out more at www.ed.ac.uk/Edinburgh-innovations/4-students or at EI Students on Twitter.
And how is Danu Robotics automating the recycling system?
So we're using a combination of technology, including computer vision, robotics, and software engineering to developing waste sorting and mining system that can truly and fully automate the manual recycling process. So currently they are robotic companies developing some form of a robotic sorter, but they can only automate 10% or at best 20% of a manual sorting process. We took it from another perspective. We completely redesigned everything ourselves, make sure our system is modular designed, it's scalable, it's affordable, and it's sustainable, that can really fully automate the entire manual sorting process.
What led to your interest in this kind of project, and why specifically waste production?
I'm environmentalist. Yeah, I'm environmentalist myself. So I does recycling at home. In 2020, I just think, okay, what's happened to my recycling at home? And then I just did a huge research to find out what's happened after this recycling being collected away. And the outcome of that research was extremely underwhelming and heartbroken. The recycling process at the moment is extremely wasteful. Supposedly, the recyclables are resource, but they're not actually being reused because the contamination in the recyclable outputs through the current process. So there's a lot of problem. One of the areas I noticed is that with today's technology, all the companies are still hiring people to sort out waste manually. It was a shocking discovery. So that's really is where Danu Robotics come from. And we are trying to automate this manual process to ensure the output, the recyclable outputs are high quality and high purity that can be reused immediately. So the problem, if the output is contaminated, they most likely 99% of the time will end up in courtyard or landfill in another country, never be reused. So it's a huge, wasteful process.
So you use artificial intelligence. How does that work to automatically see, oh, this is a bottle cap, this is a tin can? How is it able to do that, and how have you managed to develop that technology?
The machine vision is a branch of AI, and it's quite a proven technology. We currently using open source machine vision model and providing the data we collected from our potential customers recycling sites, and then we're using that data to train this model. And through the training process, with good quality input data, the model eventually can identify waste with very high accuracy. So we are not actually developing a brand new AI. We are more like an application of AI in this case.
Okay, wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
So it's quite a proven technology already. There are a lot of Yeah, there are a lot of open source machine learning model in computer vision, natural language processing, and all sorts of other type of development. We understand what this model do, so we just application of the AI technology or innovation area, and IP are actually in the hardware development. We kind of developed a quite a different type of robotics. So that's where all our IPs are in hardware.
How long has this taken? When did you start the company, and how challenging has it been to apply this AI to recycling?
Yeah, it has been really challenging. So actually the idea started from April 2020, and then I speak with Jiang Hao, our business advisor from Edinburgh Innovation, in June. He's really pushing it, saying, okay, this is just an idea at the moment. You need to talk to potential customers to see if there is a need for this idea. And the company actually registered at Company House is in July 2020. And from there, we were able to provide some kind of a student project with Strathclyde University through interface. And that's where all the product development work just get started. And so it takes around 6 months to get our first interested customer come back to us. So before that, I was trying to contact people or companies through their website and people who are working in the innovation sector within certain companies through LinkedIn. I think it's around 200 emails or contacts I made. And in September, one company come back. So that was really actually our breakthrough moment. It's like, oh, wow, yes, there is a problem. And the company is Verador, a visa management company. They were saying, yeah, they want to support the project. They particularly mentioned there is a need for much greater automation in the recycling industry. There's the whole industry is behind the technology curve. So that was really a breakthrough moment. The company as a business actually get into shape because of this one company replied to us saying, yes, there is a need. And we were, particularly myself, really feel more assurance and more confidence. Yes, okay, I'm not dreaming about this thing. There is a real need for such technology. I met my co-founder, Nathan Weister, a robotic PhD student from Edinburgh Center for Robotics, and start working together to build this prototype. And for AI side thing, and we were able to use publicly available trash image to train an AI model and to just prove the concept, okay. Even just using this small site, publicly available image, we can still get something out of it. That means if we have more data, it proven the model can perform better. And the second big breakthrough was the secure Smart Scotland grant last year. That really allow us to spend full time on developing the prototype. And that takes us until this moment. We have completed our first minimum viable products, and it is ready to go live testing at Glasgow City Council Recycling Centre in January 2023. So we're really excited about the progress.
Yeah, I can't believe 200 emails in the month of September and then one person replies. That's all you need.
It's quite a quick turnaround, isn't it?
Yeah, well, at the beginning was slow, was very hard to get that very first.
slow in your eyes.
Wow. I mean, what advice would you give to anyone who was in your position in April 2020? What advice would you give to people in that position now?
I think for all the startups and the new business, the biggest challenge is to find market product fit. So to be very certain about this is to do a lot of research, secondary research. Instead, because at the very beginning, you don't have any customers. You just set out to do this research to find out if there is a market product fit. So to really assure yourself is to do a lot of research. There's a particular nowadays, Google and YouTube is just so convenient. For me, I was just using YouTube, typing the keywords with the sorting and all sorts of different small footage coming up. And then I see through all this footage, I see there's people standing by the conveyor sorting out waste. Even at that moment, I don't have actual customer to talk with, you can make informed guess that yes, there is an issue, there is a potential need for your product. So through that kind of a secondary research, it helps me to form my hypothesis, saying, okay, there is very high chance there is a need for automation, and then take that learning from the secondary research to start trying to find the very first customer to talk to this kind of people who are working in the industry within the very targeted communication. Say, oh, through my research, I saw this is an issue. Are you experiencing the same issue? Maybe my product or my idea can help you in certain way. So really, it's prepare yourself with knowledge, saying, okay, there is potential issue. Are you agree with me? If you agree, maybe my solution can help you. That really is how I get started. Once you do this secondary research, you're confident as well. Because after 200 emails, no one come back to you. You got to start really doubt yourself. Am I just dreaming about it? But then when you go back to see your research, you think, no, I'm not dreaming about it. It's the most latest footage from recycling center. There's people working there. So your secondary research really gave you that kind of assurance. Okay, I am not dreaming about it. There is a need. Maybe I just haven't found that particular individual or your product champion yet. So it gave you confidence to keep going. I mean, even without customers, just do the secondary research. That should give a lot of information.
Absolutely, yeah. I can imagine it was hard to stay motivated at times, but clearly your hard work has paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's another benefit of doing secondary research is that, okay, maybe people don't come back to you for many reasons. You're a startup, you're nobody, no one knows you. Why they come back to you? And you kind of figure out why they ignore your message. Some people like innovation lead at Veolia, they will be bombarded by this kind of email. But once you go back to your secondary research, you know there's an issue. Even people don't get back to you. So you just have to keep trying, keep going with that confidence, with that knowledge. Just don't give up because you know there is an issue.
No, it's great. The belief you've got to have in your idea to just keep emailing people until, yeah, you get that one email back. It's amazing. How did Edinburgh Innovations help you develop your idea?
They really make a massive difference. They really helped me in all sorts of ways to grow the business. Actually, the company started with an idea for the discussion with John Hill, my business advisor from Edinburgh Innovation. From there, he provided a lot of advice, including the very first thing I need to do is to talk to potential customers. That really is the first thing, get that very first one. And then with his support and encouragement, he also opened doors for me to build up my network, get support either from Scottish Enterprise or other funding source. And Edinburgh Innovation itself also have a very small grant for startups to build their prototype. I think it's called Enterprise Initiative Grant. We were receiving that grant and allow us to purchase very basic hardware in vision system, in computer vision system and robotics to build a very basic prototype. That was a big help as well. And additionally, they just give 200% of themselves to help you to grow your business. And I personally participated a few programs, including Enterprise Foundation program, to really learn how to build a startup business. And it teaches you everything you need to know, from market validation to legal side things and IP protection. And also, we were lucky enough to be part of Startup Summer Accelerator program. That was a big boost to us as well. You got to meet people from different areas within the startup ecosystem, and they really show you the, not the tricks, but they really show you what needs to be done to really grow your business. So I have to say, Danu Robotics really grow to this level. It cannot be done without the help from Edinburgh Innovations.
Did you have a background in business before you started the company, or did you have to learn on the job, so to say?
Yeah, I think I have a little bit background in business. So before I come to Edinburgh University do my part-time master degree in high performance computing, I was working for HSBC for a number of years, where I was responsible for developing data science tools or modeling tools for the risk management team. So I had some commercial experience from my working experience, but that's very, very different from the skill you need to run a startup or a business. Because when you are an employee, you actually kind of protected from all the areas running a business. All you need to do is focusing on a task given by your manager and deliver that task. That's it. You don't need to worry about sales. You don't need to worry about market product fit. You don't need to worry about fundraising. None of that. It was kind of it's a hassle-free, really quite stress-free life. But running a startup is a completely different story. You have to worry about everything as a founder, particularly raising money is one of the biggest focus nowadays for me, just to get enough funding injected in the company, make sure we keep going until we make our very first sales, and also about building the team, sell your products, legal side things, accounting side things. Yeah, very, very different skill sets from being an employee to being a boss.
No, it sounds like quite the task. Yeah, oh my word. Have you transitioned into just doing Danu Robotics now, or are you also balancing that with other things?
Yeah, so when I had the idea, I was in my final year starting my part-time master degree in high-performance computing with data science. So in that year, I was having this idea about the new robotics, and I also working on my dissertation and also had a part-time work at HSBC. So it was a busy year.
How did you do that? How did you manage all three things?
I don't recommend. Yes, it was super stressful. It was very stressful, was very challenging. But I guess when you first starting this business, the biggest problem you need to solve is to get the customer validation. So that takes me around 6 to 9 months. During that time, I was not developing the product itself. I was just doing research, frame my emails, frame my message on LinkedIn, try to get people's attention or try to get people come back to me, say, yes, we have this problem. Let's work together, solve this problem. That's my goal for that 9 months, I really didn't get a start developing the product until 2021.
I would have said when I was younger, I wasn't that interested in recycling, but I am now, given that there are all these problems around reducing waste. Did you want to be a business owner when you were younger? What was your dream job when you were growing up?
Actually, my dream job is just looking after animals. When I was young, I thought I will become a zookeeper. But when I grew up, I realized there's a lot of issue with zoo. But my dream job really is to be able to look after all sorts of different animals. Never thought to become a business owner. If we are successful, then robotics ever become profitable. One of the areas we will be supporting financially will be animal sanctuaries, particularly supporting farm animals and animals who has been very unfortunately become testing subjects or experimental subjects. And that really is one of the areas I'm extremely passionate about, as well as environmental protection.
I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed interviewing Amy. An inspiring story for all budding entrepreneurs out there. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Not Another Science Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by the Edinburgh University Science Media Society. In each episode, we explore fascinating themes and ideas, talk to awesome researchers about their work, and find out about the science being done by our very own staff and students here at the university and beyond. If you have any feedback for us, or if you'd like to get in touch with a question or suggestion, you can reach us at our Facebook page, Edinburgh University Science Media, or at our Twitter, @USci. That's @EUSCI. You can also drop us an email at usci.podcast@gmail.com. And you can find the latest issue of our magazine at usci.org.uk.